You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
Hey, hey, welcome in to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, back with a live show on your Tuesday. It is Brett and Eric, and it was only a one-time occurrence when we finally had the correct intro playing, but...
Yeah, never again.
Never again. It was just it was like seeing an eclipse or something like that. Yeah, never hear that intro again where it actually...
A shooting star.
A shooting star, yep. Got to make a wish when you hear that intro where it actually says yours and my name. How was your Memorial Day over there, Eric?
It was great. It was great.
Heard you spent a lot of time on 35 trying to get down here from Duluth area.
Oh, yeah. Around Hinckley, it was just a dead stop.
I've never gotten why the construction crews decide, you know what's a good time to reduce 35 to a two-lane road? Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, well, that stretch of road is pretty much always reduced to a one-lane road for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, it's never-ending.
Open it up Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July, and Labor Day, you would think. They would plan that out, although I don't work for MnDOT. Maybe there's some reason, but either way, I'm sure that was a joyous commute both there and now back here to the Twin Cities. So I had a nice Memorial Day myself. I unplugged myself from politics. I don't know if you did the same thing in there, Eric, but it was great just not having to think about politics for about 3 days, kind of unplugging, unwinding, and not thinking about the big orange buffoon in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where I was, I don't really have any connection to the internet, so I don't really have a choice.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that. Yeah, it's even better. You didn't even have a choice. Mm-hmm. I did. I consciously avoided it. But now that we're back into the swing of things, time to get back into politics. And our first guest on the show today is Ian Millhiser. He writes for Think Progress and also is author of the book, Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted. He is an expert on the Supreme Court, and we do have some recent news with the Supreme Court in terms of some abortion rulings that they've made, or actually not made, in terms of cases they've decided not to hear. Ian, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's good to be back. Thanks so much.
Yeah, been way too long since we've had you on, and things certainly are always heating up at the Supreme Court, before we even have some big rulings coming down. But one thing that did happen today was this Box versus Planned Parenthood. Right. This was a case that was brought up in Indiana, signed back into law in 2016 when then-Governor Mike Pence, who's now, of course, the vice president, signed this law, which, as you described it, basically was a troll law to the liberals saying that you can't have an abortion if it's based on sex, race, or disability. And the Supreme Court surprisingly elected not to hear this case. Can you tell us more details on that, Ian?
Sure. So basically, since Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed, the Supreme Court had an anti-abortion majority. And so I think most people just think it's a matter of time before they take a case that nukes Roe v. Wade. And what they said today, I mean, they said a few things, but the most important thing they said is, not this case, not this time. And it's hard to know how much to read into it. You know, one, it could be that they're looking to put off resolution of the issue for a while. I don't think that's likely. I think it's more likely that, as you mentioned, this was a really trolly law. It was a law that banned sex and race selective abortions, which, as far as I know, is not a thing that happens, or at least not a thing that happens with, you know, any real frequency. And yet, the idea behind this law was you ban it, the Supreme Court takes the case, and then we get to listen to abortion opponents tell us that we're the real racist for the next year while the case is pending before the Supreme Court. And it looks like the court didn't want that drama. They're probably still going to take an abortion case in the future, but it's not going to be this one.
Yeah, and even the question would be, how would you enforce a law like this? I'm not even sure how a doctor would go about doing this. Do they, the supporters of this law, bring up any way that this law could even be enforced if it were to actually be put into the law?
Yeah, so the way that the law is drafted, it says if the doctor can't perform an abortion, if that doctor knows that the sole reason for the abortion is because of the race, sex, or disability of the fetus. And I could think of no reason why a doctor would ask that question.
Right.
I don't know why it wouldn't be appropriate for a medical provider to ask a personal question like that. So it's one of those things where, like, I don't think the law would actually do anything. The point of this law wasn't to achieve anything. The point of the law was to tee up an abortion fight where Fox News could call Planned Parenthood a bunch of racists.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Clarence Thomas had an interesting opinion about this, as he wrote extensively in what he was talking about when he made this ruling, along with the other four justices, was eugenics, trying to bring this up. And he went back in history, talking about Margaret Sanger, which I've heard recently over the past few weeks, especially with some trolls on our social media here on AM 950. But is this kind of an angle the right is taking right now, trying to frame abortion as being something where people who want abortion are trying to get this for reasons of discriminating against sex, race, and disability, to try to put it in a little bit more of a positive spin?
Right. So, I mean, well, Justice Thomas's opinion, first of all, was wild. He didn't just attack abortion. He attacked birth control. He, like, quoted Margaret Sanger and a bunch of early Planned Parenthood executives, like, pulling out quotes where they were saying, like, oh, yeah, birth control could be used to foster eugenics. So, like, if you take his opinion seriously, it looks like he's not just planning to go after abortion, but he may be planning to target things like the pill or even condoms. You know, it was a wacky, wild opinion. But that said, I mean, people 100 years ago believed awful things. I mean, eugenics was a very popular viewpoint. It was the law in many states 100 years ago. The Supreme Court upheld a terrible forced sterilization law in an 8-1 decision almost 100 years ago. So 100 years ago, people believed terrible things. And what Justice Thomas did is he found supporters of birth control who, in addition to supporting birth control, also believed terrible things and quoted them saying terrible things. And what does that prove? It proves absolutely nothing. I mean, people, you know, we have learned the error of our ways. You know, by we, I mean American society when it comes to eugenics. You know, 99% of women will use some form of contraception while they are sexually active at some point in their lives. That doesn't mean that they're engaged in some kind of crazy Nazi eugenics fest. But that's what Thomas seemed to be implying was going on here. And I mean, I honestly don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, who would have thought Clarence Thomas would have a wild opinion? He certainly had his fair share of those over the years. So the Supreme Court essentially, as you said, elected to punt on this issue. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Ian, but it only takes four justices to actually agree to hear a case, correct?
That's right. It takes four to hear a case, five to decide. So we know that at least two, I mean, assuming that none of the Democrats wanted to hear this case, and I can't imagine why they would, that means that at least two of the Republicans voted not to hear the case. And what we do know, I mean, Thomas said that he didn't think that they should hear the case, although he thought that maybe it should be heard later. So, I mean, it could be that many of them didn't. It could be that Gorsuch and Alito pushed to hear the case and they didn't have the votes. But that's right, that, like, there was at the very least a split amongst the conservative wing of the Supreme Court, where they couldn't get the four votes to take up the case.
And what strikes me as interesting about this is that if Trump stays in office, well, if he gets reelected in 2020 and you get another conservative justice on the Supreme Court, you could see someone like John Roberts have his hand forced where he would have to actually hear cases, because the way I kind of see it right now is that Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas are probably going to want to hear just about any abortion case they can, while a little bit more of a gray area on Kavanaugh and Roberts. But if you add one more conservative Supreme Court justice on there, well, there's your four. That automatically means they have to hear the case. Now, of course, they don't necessarily have to rule in the same way, but it is an interesting dynamic of how, you know, Kavanaugh and Roberts could have their hand forced if we actually were to get another conservative justice.
Yeah. I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, you know, things are going to get really bad if Trump gets to put someone else on the Supreme Court. But even with the court that we have now, I don't think that they're going to be able to hold off on hearing abortion cases for very much longer. There's a Louisiana case involving an anti-abortion law that is word for word identical to the Texas law that the Supreme Court struck down a few years back in a case called Whole Women's Health about 3 years back. and a rogue federal appeals court upheld this law, even though it is identical to a law that the Supreme Court struck down just 3 years ago. So I think it's going to be very tough for the Supreme Court to not take that case. And if they decide not to take that case, it's almost the same thing as them declaring Roe v. Wade dead, because it signals to every lower court judge in the country that they can go rogue, they can defy the Supreme Court's abortion rights decisions, and the Supreme Court will do nothing about it.
Do you think we'll see them accept more cases after the 2020 election? Because especially if a Democrat were to win in 2020, you could, of course, have a new Democratic justice in the future at some point. So in theory, maybe at that point they'd want to get in a whole bunch of cases while they have a majority. Or don't the justices even think that way and look at elections?
I mean, they're not oblivious to the fact that elections exist. But in this case, because this Louisiana case is looming, I think that they're very likely to take that case. And if they take that case, we'll probably have a decision in June 2020. So a few months before the election, we'll probably get an opinion that eviscerates Roe v. Wade.
So if it does completely eviscerate Roe versus Wade, that's, of course, one option. Another option I've heard is that they might want to take baby steps towards, chipping away at abortion, which, of course, we've seen for years and years. And, of course, that could accelerate with the current court that we have. But if they get a chance to actually outright reverse Roe versus Wade, but they instead elect to kind of take more baby steps, could that almost kind of demoralize the right-wing base, or would they kind of see that as progress being made? How do you think they would react to that if they elected not to go with a full-out reversal, but maybe just take more baby steps towards chipping away at Roe?
I can't speak for the anti-abortion right, but in my experience, there's nothing that keeps you going like victory, even if it's a partial victory. Mm-hmm. So, I would not count on people who are winning to, be frustrated, to be so frustrated by the fact that they aren't winning fast enough that they back down. I do think that, and the other thing that I would say is that what might look like baby steps if you don't know this issue area very well won't actually be baby steps. So I don't actually think the next abortion decision is going to use the words Roe v. Wade is overruled. But that's because the people who oppose abortion know that it doesn't have to say that for them to win. What the Texas case that I mentioned before was about was a law that made it very, very expensive to operate an abortion clinic and made it very difficult for doctors to obtain a credential that they needed in order to perform abortions. And so technically abortion was still legal. But if you make it too expensive for clinics to operate, and if you make it so that doctors can't get the credentials they need to do their job, then eventually all the abortion clinics shut down. And it's the same thing as if you overruled Roe v. Wade. It's just done in a more underhanded way.
Right, exactly. We're speaking with Ian Millhiser. He is a writer for Think Progress and an expert on the Supreme Court. I want to move on to another issue here, Aaron, before we wrap things up, and that has to do with, this recent ruling we saw from a district judge that ruled that Trump's accounting firm must comply with a congressional subpoena seeking many of Trump's financial records. Are we actually going to finally see some of these financial records from Trump, or can this actually be appealed? What are some of the arguments we're seeing?
So I hope we'll see them soon. I mean, this is really a test of how hackish the Supreme Court has become. So there's a long line of Supreme Court cases saying that Congress has broad oversight authority, especially when they are overseeing the President of the United States. So what the law says is basically so long as Congress is conducting an investigation that reasonably could be said to advance, could provide information that's useful to Congress using one of its lawful powers. So if it's looking for information that could help it engage in lawmaking, that's fine. If it's investigating the President of the United States, that's almost always going to be fine no matter what they're looking for. And the reason why is that Congress has the power to impeach the president. And you can't determine whether or not the president needs impeaching unless you've conducted an investigation to see what the president is up to. So Trump's attempts to resist these subpoenas are frivolous. I mean, his legal arguments, you know, should be laughed out of court. And we already had two judges basically, you know, more or less laugh him out of court. Those are going to go to federal appeals courts. One of those federal appeals courts said that they're going to be hearing the case in July. I'm not anticipating that Trump will win in the federal appeals courts. And then the question is whether the Supreme Court, or at least the five Republicans on the Supreme Court, have become so partisan at this point that they're going to ignore many, many, many years of decisions saying that what Congress is doing now is lawful in order to bail out Trump.
So ultimately, you think this will end up going to the Supreme Court, correct?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, if nothing else, after Trump loses, and he's overwhelmingly likely to lose in the Court of Appeals, he will seek a stay in the Supreme Court and hope, you know, if the Supreme Court follows the law, they will realize that there's no grounds for a stay here. You know, I mean, who knows if that will happen given the Supreme Court. But one way or another, whether the Supreme Court gives a full opinion on the merits or they just have to weigh in on the stay issue, we're going to get an answer, you know, probably, you know, not imminently, but within the next several months, maybe as soon as August or September, where the Supreme Court's going to have to at least decide whether or not to stay the lower court decision.
And it seems like the ball's pretty much in the court of John Roberts, since, well, Kavanaugh essentially got on the court since he was very friendly towards presidential power. But, yeah, it would seem to come down to John Roberts, wouldn't it?
I mean, I would hope that, I mean, a case like this should be 9-0. Like, if I were
in a normal world, yes, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I was one of the justices' clerks and they asked me to write an opinion coming down on Trump's side, I'd be like, boss, like, I don't know how to do that. Like, there just isn't anything there. But unfortunately, you know, we have the court that we have, and so there's no guarantee that they'll do the right thing.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few months. That's Ian Millhiser. He writes for Think Progress, also author of the book Injustices, the Supreme Court's History of Comforting the Comfortable and Afflicting the Afflicted. Buy that over at Next Chapter Books, not Amazon. Jeff Bezos doesn't need any more of your money. Get it over there at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. Hey, Ian, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, great to hear from you. We'll take a break here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee and come back with an interesting thought. Are Ilhan Omar and Ted Cruz agreeing on an issue? Could actually happen. We'll talk about that next on the way on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Eric.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock Repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee, repertoire, something like that.
No one beats Warner Stellion. No one. Our passion is earning your business, and we've guaranteed appliance savings for nearly 70 years. But the Warners know there's more to it than just offering the lowest price. So we've hired and we've trained the very best people to make every step of your appliance buying experience simple and fun. Now through June 3rd, Warner Stellion will save you even more with exclusive in-store specials. Go to warnerstellion.com or come on in for full details. Choose Minnesota's own Warner Stellion.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio, and this weekend we're going to be talking about the crisis with pesticides. You know, 60 years ago, the U.S. government was spraying tons of DDT on millions of acres. Yes, it was paid for by our tax dollars. The recklessness continues. That's what we're going to be talking about this week. What's going on with pesticides, chemical use? Are we doing wise and kind things to our planet? We'll be talking with local activists Mark Rosenberg and Russ Henry about what we can do. Food Freedom Radio, Saturday at 8 a.m. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is having their annual service special. Every stove, insert, and fireplace needs maintenance. Get it done now and save $40. You'll be ready to fire up before the cold weather hits again. From 94, take the Riverside Avenue exit and go east to 2901 Franklin Avenue. See the Twin Cities' most diverse selection of clean-burning, reliable, and environmentally smart stoves and fireplaces.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, owner of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Have you ever watched your dog or cat curl up in front of a fire, like a Norman Rockwell painting brought to life? It's primordial the way fire touches both the animal and the human. We have the equipment and the know-how to supply, install, and maintain stoves and fireplaces. Call us at 612-338-6606 and take advantage of our spring cleaning and maintenance special. We are online at woodlandstoves.com. The mission and the passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
Brett and Eric on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Eric, I guess you're not one of those Cool Cats.
No.
No.
Not yet.
Yeah, you got to work up for that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Only the Cool Cats are Doug, Brett, and Hunter on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have any thoughts on our conversation with Ian Millhiser from Think Progress about some of the Supreme Court cases that could be upcoming that have to do with abortion, do have some other abortion news to briefly bring to you. So some bad news in Missouri. Their only abortion clinic is likely to close. That's according to CBS News, as Planned Parenthood said. Missouri's health department is refusing to renew its annual license to provide abortion, so that would overall be the first state in the country not to have an abortion clinic. They even still have those in Alabama and Mississippi. I think each of those states are down to one. And how does it relate here to Minnesota? Well, we very easily could have been in a very similar situation if not for electing Governor Mark Dayton in 2010 and re-electing him in 2014, because after those 2010 elections, we had an overwhelmingly Republican legislature here in the state, and if a few thousand people had voted for Tom Emmer instead of Mark Dayton back in 2010, state could have looked very, very different. Other news to bring to you, and this is an interesting idea from Senator Kamala Harris, who, of course, is running for president in 2020. I kind of like her trollish proposal that would just infuriate the right if there were to be a Democratic president. She is proposing a plan that would require states trying to restrict abortion access to pre-clear any new reproductive health laws with the Department of Justice. I can imagine that just ending up with an entire court fight if you were to have a Democratic Department of Justice and then Republican states trying to restrict abortion. That would just be a lot of fun to see play out in the media and kind of the political sphere, wouldn't it? So one other piece of news in terms of abortion to bring to you before we move on to some other topics. Susan Collins, who is the Maine senator who, of course, voted to confirm Justice Brett Kavanaugh, appears kind of clueless about him still. This is a quote from her. She said, "I'm not sure exactly why we're seeing this happen, but most of the abortion laws are not as extreme as Alabama's." Basically coming off clueless to this, she's wondering, well, why are all these laws coming through? Well, why do you think? It's because you put Brett Kavanaugh on the court, and he seems very friendly towards overturning Roe versus Wade. Thankfully, she'll be up for re-election in 2020. And of course, if you remember what happened last fall, there is a boatload of money, I think millions of dollars, that's set up for her potential opponent in the 2020 cycle. Let's move on to some news here in Minnesota. This from the Star Tribune. Representative Ilhan Omar told Star Tribune writer Pat Condon that she wants basically a foreign policy reset akin to the Green New Deal. One of the pieces of her proposed legislation that would kind of lead to this foreign policy reset, which, by the way, I think is a good idea. We do need a complete foreign policy reset, especially going back to what we saw during the Bush administration in the 2000s. Of course, we still had also a bunch of terrible foreign policy blunders before that, but it was especially highlighted during the Bush administration. And to steal a tagline from your show over there, Eric, we do need to prosecute the Bush administration for war crimes.
Oh, yeah.
Got to still put that in there. But getting back to the point, Ilhan Omar's legislation specifically would hold this tiny, wealthy country of Brunei accountable for newly instated penal code that, according to the Human Rights Watch, requires death by stoning for extramarital sex, also other lewd sex acts, but extramarital sex, that would probably get our president in trouble if he lived over there. Also, amputation of limbs for stealing. Wow, that's brutal. If you steal something, you would actually get a limb amputated.
Yeah, is there any threshold for that stealing?
I have no idea.
The candy bar?
If I'm visiting Brunei, I am definitely not stealing anything. Yikes. And also, 40 lashes with a whip for lesbian sex, and abortion is also, of course, criminalized. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Again, Ilhan Omar wants to hold this country accountable for doing this. Her legislation would bar any official of the Muslim-majority Southeast Asian nation who's responsible for implementing the code from traveling to or doing business with the United States. Now, she actually has kind of a strange bedfellow on this issue. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, of all people, actually has similar views as Ilhan Omar on this issue. Another congressional critic of Brunei's code, which was implemented by the country's sultan, is Ted Cruz. Human Rights Watch said the Texas Republican is working on legislation similar to what Ilhan Omar has proposed. He said Brunei's laws criminalizing homosexuality and imposing capital punishment are immoral, barbaric, and inhumane. So Ilhan Omar was talked about asked about the possibility of working with Senator Ted Cruz on this legislation. Wouldn't that be something if you got something put into law that had support from both Ilhan Omar and Ted Cruz?
Oh, yeah.
Two people from the exact opposite sides of the political spectrum. Well, I wouldn't exactly hold your breath on that happening. When asked about this, she said, "The sort of perspective and lens that I have is very much different than the perspective and lens that drives someone like Ted Cruz. I don't think he's driven by interests of furthering human rights. I think he's got a more sinister agenda." And, well, she's probably right on that. Ted Cruz was also asked about the prospect of working with Ilhan Omar, and they provided a statement, at least his office did, saying, "One of the things you learn when you spend more than a few months in Congress is that very often people do the same things for different reasons. Senator Cruz looks forward to working with colleagues on both sides of the aisle to hold Brunei's leaders accountable if they move forward with these horrifying measures." Now, going back to what Ilhan Omar was talking about just a second ago with wanting to have this foreign policy reset very necessary, she was also highlighting potential war with Iran, which hopefully we don't get to, and of course also issues with Venezuela as well. So even though every time you see Ilhan Omar's name in the media, definitely gets a lot of negative press, even some from the legacy media, definitely a good conversation to have because our foreign policy is certainly a complete mess. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Continue with some local news at the state legislature on the way next on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Brett and Eric on your Tuesday.
Hi, Minnesota. It's Tom Hartman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. It's not too late to pick up plants and flowers. Also, fresh at the market is asparagus, rhubarb, and green onions. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Have you tuned in to Mission Accomplishers yet? Saturdays at 7 p.m., hosted by the fellas Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson. You don't want to miss out, so subscribe on your podcast app of choice, Apple, Google, Stitcher. We release extended editions of the show, talks, interviews that you can only find via podcast. Pull up Apple Podcasts now, type in Mission Accomplishers, subscribe, rate us, and give feedback, and we'll read your feedback on the air. Mission Accomplishers, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on AM 950.
You know me as the carpet connoisseur of AM 950. At home, I have a whole zoo. 7 parakeets, 3 guinea pigs, and a chihuahua. Understand now why I'm such a big fan of Zero Res? They get rid of every splotch, every stain, every accident for my little critters. Before Zero Res, I used to move furniture to cover up my spots. Now my carpet is spectacular. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the AM 950 special. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 67. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 53. Wednesday, rain with a high near 69. And Thursday, sunny with a high around 77.
Spring is here, and it's time for Standard Heating and Air Conditioning Spring Fever Sale, where you can save $1,700 or more on a new furnace and AC combo throughout May. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and AC, comfort you deserve.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
And we are having a good repartee on your Tuesday. Brett and Eric in studio. A little bit of an unusual schedule this week. Kind of that time of year where once we get into summer, where people go on vacation. Doug Padgett, who normally does the Tuesday show, is out somewhere. He's been gone for about a week or so. I don't know what he's doing, but I hope it's not related to work. Since
I think this is vacation this time, right?
Yeah, I think it is supposed to be vacation because he does way too many things. I have no idea how Doug pulls it off, but hopefully he's getting some nice rest and relaxation. He is back on Thursday, my usual day. Then Friday, we'll hopefully have our Fridays with Richard Painter going again. Been some news on that front since we haven't had Richard on the show for a number of weeks. Then, of course, the fellas are back on tomorrow with Hunter and Eric. Your usual Wednesdays should be a fun show there as well. You can connect with us on our email, comment at am950radio.com. Follow us on Twitter at am950radio or on Facebook. Want to say hello to Lisa, one of the big fans of AM950radio. She is watching right now. Also, Bob commented on our Facebook feed saying, the abortion issue is a calling card for the religious right and the religious left. Which I think is an interesting thing to bring up, being a calling card for the religious left. I think if the left were to take on that issue religiously, it would certainly help on that as well and maybe lead to some room for an actual conversation, because so often when you talk about a hot button issue like that, you have one side who's dead set in their beliefs and another side that's dead set in their beliefs, and there's really no room to come to the middle at all. Let's get back into some local news. Want to bring up some legislative news and something that you may have missed in the latest budget agreement and special session that happened over the past weekend. And the Minnesota Historical Society will not lose any of its funding after being threatened with the prospect of losing funding for changing the sign at Fort Snelling 2 years ago. They basically changed the signage at Fort Snelling. They didn't change the name of Fort Snelling itself, which is kind of misleading because that's what some of the people on the right try to make it sound like. They actually just made the sign say Historic Fort Snelling at Bedote, which of course is the historic Native American name for what Fort Snelling was before, of course, settlers and took over it and then also made it into a military base. So I think it's actually kind of a fitting name because you still honor the military presence that was there with historic Fort Snelling. But then, of course, you still include the historic Native American name Bedote because, well, that's actually its name. It's not historical revisionism, according to some of the Republicans who made the arguments of cutting off funding to the Minnesota Historical Society. But again, fortunately, that will not be happening as funding will continue for the Minnesota Historical Society. They thankfully got that out of the conference committee, so they will be fully funded for this upcoming year. One thing that did not make it through the state budget and the special session is, of course, that emergency insulin bill, a proposal to require insulin manufacturers to fund a program that offers emergency access to uninsured diabetics or those who can't afford their medication. Going to have to wait until 2020 as lawmakers decided in the early morning hours of Saturday that they will not be voting on this. In fact, they actually voted it down by a 34-33 margin. Now, they say they are open to retaking up this issue in 2020, but that really doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you're a diabetic and you're low income.
Yeah.
You kind of need your insulin now, not until 2020. But what I wanted to highlight is that, again, this failed on a vote of 34-33, and wanted to highlight some of the Republicans that voted against this because they represent suburban districts that kind of turned blue in 2018, including a few of these that turned completely blue in 2018, where they're actually Senate districts that are now represented by two DFL House members. Here's just a few of them, and make sure if you live in these areas that you're out there holding these guys accountable. Dave Osmek, who represents District 33 in Mound, he voted against it, as did Warren Limmer in 34. He represents Maple Grove. Jim Abler, who is District 35, the Anoka area. Roger Chamberlain represents Lino Lakes in District 38. Ah, Karen Housley, remember her? She ran for the U.S. Senate in 2018. She still does represent a state Senate seat, though, in District 39. Also, Paul Anderson used to be my senator back when I lived in Plymouth. He also voted against this, as well as Eric Pratt in District 55 and Dan Hall in District 56, who represents the Burnsville area. I should go back and say Pratt represents Prior Lake. So if you live in any of those areas, give these guys a call. Ask, why do we have to wait until 2020 to get this insulin funding? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I have a couple of phone calls on the line that we'll get to in just a minute. Another piece of news I wanted to bring up to you, and interested to get your thoughts on this. This was written up in the New York Times over the weekend, and that is that small business owners have started to actually force some of their employees to get vaccinated. Small business owners worried about the spread of measles may want to be sure their staffers have been vaccinated, so some have actually been putting through some policies. But, according to the New York Times article, they should make sure they're speaking with a labor attorney or a human resources consultant, obviously a good idea there, as an employer generally is prohibited from requiring employees to undergo medical procedures, including vaccinations, under the Americans with Disabilities Act. A company that tries to force staffers to be vaccinated can find itself being sued by angry workers, but there can be exceptions, especially in places where there's a measles outbreak or where government officials have ordered vaccination to protect the public's health. And of course, there are a number of areas throughout the country where there have been measles outbreaks detected and declared by the government, which means, in theory, you could actually have your employer force you to get a vaccination. I don't know, kind of have mixed feelings on that since an employer is technically not the government.
Well, I don't like having employers have authority over
your
body.
Yeah.
I mean, with the government, but
yeah, I'm kind of with you too. Like, when it comes to school vaccinations, absolutely right there, because obviously you kind of have to go to school. But yeah, that's a little bit more of a gray area for me. I kind of agree with you, Eric. Having your employer force you to get a vaccination, I don't know. I kind of get the idea, though, where if you actually have a measles outbreak and someone that's an employee at an organization that can't get a vaccination and they kind of rely on the herd mentality of having everyone around them vaccinated, but I guess there probably could be a slippery slope you could certainly go down right there, where if you say, well, you can force an employee to get a vaccination on X, well, what's to stop them from going down a slippery slope and declaring a vaccination or a medical procedure on something else? So, yeah, that's makes me a little bit uncomfortable. You're kind of in the same boat there where you don't necessarily want an employer telling you that to get a vaccination, right?
Yeah. I guess, I mean, it's hard because do you then say that everyone just has to be vaccinated that works for this company? Or are you actually saying people who are already working for that company have to go get vaccinated?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, they didn't provide a whole lot of detail on this. They did list some states and areas that have had measles outbreaks declared. Didn't see Minnesota on this list, but New York State, California, Michigan, Georgia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Washington State have had some areas where technically, if an employer wanted to, they could force you to get a vaccination. And of course, a very different situation if you work at a hospital. Obviously, if you're a hospital employee, then you should be getting vaccinated. No question there whatsoever.
Because I can see employees for a company not wanting to work with other people who are not vaccinated.
Yeah.
So it's a, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it yet.
Yeah. I guess if you're vaccinated, you're technically covered. But I could certainly see you being concerned if you're one of those people who couldn't get vaccinated due to a medical procedure. Yeah, I don't know what you do right there. If you force your employees to get vaccinated, or maybe you find out if anyone else on staff is not vaccinated, maybe you get that information and decide to leave your place of employment. Tough issue right there. Love to give your thoughts on that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, or any of the other topics we've been talking about today on the Repartee. Let's run the phone calls and go to David in Shakopee, who wants to talk about the religious left and abortion. Hey there, David.
Hey, I consider myself religious left. And here's the thing about the religious left. We believe that what our religion is personal, and we shouldn't push it on other people. The religious right, on the other hand, believes that their religion should rule everyone. It's an authoritarian view of Christianity, as opposed to a America first before our Christianity.
So it sounds like the religious right, they're the big state nanny state liberals, aren't they? Not you guys.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They really are. Think about it. Everything they constantly stick their nose in our business. They constantly tell us what we want, what they want us to do to, in order for them to feel better about the world they live in, rather than them just minding their own business and taking care of their own responsibilities.
That's a good point, and thanks for bringing that up, David. Appreciate the phone call, 952-946-6205. Yeah, I always found that funny when Norman Goldman, an old host on AM 950, would always say it's the religious rights that's the big nanny state liberals, and well, technically, he's kind of right on that issue when you see the religious right wanting big government when it comes to issues like gay marriage or transgender bathrooms or, of course, abortion. 952-946-6205. Let's bring in our good buddy Mark from Fridley. Hey there, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, first, you got to understand, judges are lawyers, and they rule over all of us. And we've got one guy that's sitting on the SCOTUS that actually we know for a fact lied during his confirmation hearing, cheated on his taxes, and represented companies that his wife, who's a lobbyist, was in charge of. So, you know, let's hold judges to the same standards as we do us. And I wanted to touch base on Memorial Day before we close, but I'm curious why Ilhan Omar isn't incorporating Saudi Arabia into the same category as Brunei, because not long ago, Saudi Arabia committed capital killings of the same types of crimes that Ilhan Omar was talking about, and there were beheadings, and there were hangings, and there were stonings, and there were also crucifixions. So Saudi Arabia is the country that Trump just bypassed Congress and shipped $40 million of weapons to without congressional authorization to attack Yemen, which the UN considers to be the worst humanitarian crisis on the face of the earth right now. So, you know, I'm all for holding Brunei to those standards, but why don't we hold the same standards to countries like Saudi Arabia that are doing the same thing, except we're providing them with aiding and abetting them in their actions in Yemen. And I want to close on this because what we're doing over in the Middle East specifically, it has had a serious health impact on just not mental health, but on veterans, and it's called burn pit syndrome. Now, everybody's heard of Gulf War syndrome and PTSD and those types of maladies, but this classification of burn pit syndrome is also creating huge havoc. And I served with a bunch of guys that were in Vietnam and suffered from Agent Orange. And not only did they suffer with multiple cancers, their DNA was actually altered by the chemical that was manufactured and impacted the children that they had. And so now that Memorial Day is over and everybody, you know, waved their flag and said support the troops, we need to keep up on this, and we need to wage peace is what we need to do, and not just make this a springtime event. And the U.S. Army sent out a tweet over the weekend and asked veterans, how has serving impacted you? And if you really want your heart torn out, take a look at the tens of thousands of responses they received from veterans talking about what they have to contend with as their daily life. And with burn pit syndrome, of course, you have cancers, joint pain, fatigue, stomach illness, cognitive disorders, as well as the PTSD. So we need to focus on peace as an everyday thing. And, you know, when President Trump sends our taxpayer dollars to a supposed ally to attack other innocent civilians, when we make burn pits in the Middle East, we don't just impact our soldiers and the people that they have lives with and family with and their future children. We impact everybody in that native country that cannot escape there. So that's what I've got to say, and let's make Memorial Day and Remembrance Day every day.
Absolutely. What was that Twitter account again? You said it was the official Army account?
Yeah, I actually saw what he was talking about.
Okay.
It's the U.S. Army Twitter account.
I got you.
I don't know what they were expecting when they asked that question.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, go ahead, Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet of people offering these horrible experiences or diseases they now have.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they were trying to go for those responses, maybe to raise awareness, or if they were looking for something different.
Yeah, maybe the person who ran the Twitter is going for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And one other thing that Mark brought up, Saudi Arabia. Yeah, doesn't get enough play about how awful of a country that is, because if you're one of those people who says we need to evade Iran, Saudi Arabia is about 10 times worse than that country. So if you're for war with Iran, you should be for war with Saudi Arabia. By the way, I'm in neither of those camps. I don't think we should have war with either of them. I'm just saying if your logic is go to war with Iran, well, then you should be wanting to go with war with Saudi Arabia, because that country is much, much worse than them. And as Mark was saying, much, much worse than Brunei as well. Glad to see Ilhan Omar trying to hold them accountable. But yeah, I'd like to see some more action on there with Saudi Arabia.
The only reason I think that she probably didn't was that it's a really hard sell.
Yeah, and I'm just going by what's in this article as well. She might have brought that up and
she
it just didn't get reported.
Saudi Arabia,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think she was just targeting them in this instance because going after Saudi Arabia has so much money backed behind it.
Yeah, exactly. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Have some quick thoughts on the stock market and the economy before we close the show on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. That's up next.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee?
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, another special session from Minnesota's divided government, a new London ski team celebrates 40 years together, and Golden Gopherhead football coach PJ Fleck. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
We use technology every day to help manage our lives. Why not use it to help manage your medications? St. Paul Corner Drug offers several free tools to keep you on track while taking your medications. Use our mobile app to quickly order a refill, or the MedsOnQ application, which turns your smartphone or tablet into your very own personal medication attendant. Email and text messaging options let you know when your medication is ready for pickup, making efficient use of your time. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive, right here on AM 950.
It's Brett and Eric on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. So you might remember a few weeks ago, I got into a nice discussion about what's happening with corporate stock buybacks. If you're not familiar, it's when a corporation buys back their own stock, which has the effect of reducing the number of shares available for the public to purchase, which if you go by supply and demand, that means the stock price for a company goes up, which is great news if you're a corporate executive because you primarily get your compensation not from salary, but from stock shares and different types of things that you get from a company stock. So the higher the stock price, the better the news. And the problem with all these corporate stock buybacks is that it's primarily being financed, well, on a credit card, essentially. And of course, the debt has grown completely out of control. We're starting to see these very high-risk loans that companies are taking on. Things very likely to blow up in the future with that once the economy has a downturn, and it will downturn eventually. But
then the company's not on the hook.
Yeah.
Individual.
Exactly. Yep. Because who's the first person that gets cut when the company goes down? It's not going to be issuing more shares or trying to pay back that debt. No, it's going to be cutting your employee salaries and benefits. But one good piece of news there, Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer see eye to eye on this issue. They only want companies to be able to do these stock buybacks if workers are making at least $15 an hour, among other provisions. That's it for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. The fellas are in tomorrow here on AM 950.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.